You ever been on that call, turn around, look to your right or to your left and see your boss, your boss's boss, or the CEO of your company? Welcome to the boiler room. That pressure is also real for a lot of us in sales. But you don't have to take and run from that fear. You need to learn how to harness it. And on this episode of Sales Burrito, we're going to walk you through how you can sell with your C-suite here on Sales Burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs. With your hosts, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
You know, one of my favorite movies ever when it comes to sales is The Boiler Room. I mean, that and Glengarry Glen Ross and Always Be Closing. Ooh, look at that.
A little under pressure.
Just a little.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a seminal classic that if you haven't... earned your set of steak knives or been through the boiler room exercise, you have to. It's just a classic. And I think it's right up there with Office Space if you're on the technology side of the table. But selling with the pressure of the boardroom when it's your boardroom with you is something that's really real for a lot of people. And from a firsthand experience, oftentimes my meetings are with that, right? I do a ton of executive briefings in my current role. And oftentimes it's our co-founders, it's our president, our VP of sales that are sitting there right there with you. And, for that first time, for a lot of people, that's a nerve-wracking event, especially when you're maybe the frontline SC or that frontline account manager, and you're getting this notification that, hey, look, your CEO wants to join the call, and she's going to be there right there at the start of the hour. You can't let that derail you from your focus and your mission. You really need to learn that they're there not to scare you. They're there to help you through your sales process. So I want to share some tips and tricks today with everybody and kind of cover what we've done in the field and what you can do in the field and how you can harness those resources that you have at your disposal. And I think personally, if I am in that situation where I'm going to get a chance to tap one of those kind of resources, that's outstanding. That's a door opener like you can't believe, especially when you have an organization of any kind of size and the person that you're bringing in carries a weight or a title or some, credence with them in the industry. I think it's just, it speaks volumes of the fact that you were able to bring them into that account and that account. They're going to get a chance to hear directly from the person who may have even created the company or has that vision.
I think what's important about this topic, right, is the fact that we've all been there where you're going to have situations that because you see the title as a sales engineer, you may be a little bit overwhelmed or maybe a little bit anxiety creeps in because you're thinking, how do I shine or how do I make sure that I'm not in the nolly list on this person in front of this person's eye, because the first impression is the most important impression, right? And to me, what has helped me in involving C-suite individuals or VPs into my sales campaigns is to first realize that they're just people, and there's nothing more rewarding than knowing that it's a human person on the other side, and what they need. Even though they've been to multiple campaigns or multiple sales calls and they've helped other teams around the globe, what they need is your guidance. Like they need a play of what is his role within that call. If you're just bringing him or if he's inserting himself in, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not talking to him in advance and making sure that he understands, this is what we've done in the opportunity. Here's the pain. Here's what we have from what we understand from when they want to execute. Your role is, I need you to talk about the art of possible. I need you to talk about the vision of what our product is. And then the rest is just goes back to the quarterback. In this case, typically the quarterback is the account executive into the account. But it's important that as we've trained others into listening to this podcast, right? A sales engineer is part of that sales part of that team. It's not, they're equals. So always feel free to help your sales rep on making sure that that C-suite understands what their role and responsibilities are within an account. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the old saying is, you know, fail to plan, plan to fail. And, you know, no one should be engaging anybody. I don't care if it's your first line manager, you know, pulling an overlay resource in without a plan, right? You know, everybody has to have a plan. Everybody's got to know their role. You got to have a clear, defined readout of what is expected, both internally, externally, what you're trying to achieve out of the meeting. Absolutely right. I mean, most organizations will hopefully have a process around the place where you're making that request for executive engagement, unless they're just dropping themselves in, right? There are some opportunities where you didn't plan to have that exec there and they just want to be there, right? Either it's a really strategic customer, they want to come and say thank you. You know, they could be doing a spot check, right? You know, there are, you know, things in the world that just sometimes happen because they want to, you know, insert themselves in the front line and see, you know, what the pulse of the company is, what the message is that's going out the door, how are the customers receiving it, you know, so that's all fair game. But if you're engaging them actively, typically, you know, there's going to be a process, and hopefully there's a process that allows you to kind of fill out those requirements up front, get that internal prep meeting set, deliver those requirements to the ask, right? What the ask is and what you're trying to achieve, and then everybody knows their part. And you know, you gotta, and if this is really the first time and you're gonna think you're gonna be nervous about it, I guarantee that person you're gonna engage, if you went to them and said, hey, look, you mind if we just kind of do a dry run, right? Let's do a prep call. You know, give me 15 minutes so just we can walk through this. Let me kind of walk you through how I'm going to say it and just break those nerves, you know, in front of, you know, a friendly crowd before you break it in front of the customer. Even though those nerves are still going to be there, if you're not saying it for the first time live in front of the customer and you've had a chance to kind of think through it, you know, it just kind of becomes, you know, that pressure relief valve and gives you that little chance to just kind of be yourself and let yourself shine through. And, you know, it's obviously a great opportunity for you as well. I mean, when you're in front of your boss, your boss's boss, maybe the co-founder, the CEO of the company, I mean, you know, you get a chance to really kind of show them, you know, why they made the investment in hiring you and what you can do for the company. So, you know, at that same point, don't take the pressure is all a negative. Harness that pressure and shine, right? You know, pressure creates diamonds.
Well, I think in you said something very interesting, right? Because it's something that I personally do in my sales campaigns with my teams. You know, and to kind of paraphrase what you just said, right? As you move up, and whether it's different titles and whatnot, you're moving up into what the old mantra or the old cliche of the corporate ladder, right? Sometimes leaders can be persuaded to disconnect themselves from what matters from that ladder, which is, you know, the front line. Those are there on the front line from an AE or an SE perspective, right? And great leaders know how to insert themselves in situations where I need my CEO to sell the vision and you know, put that nail in the coffin on that deal to make sure that we all win, right? The other situation is when you have forecast reviews that are at the C level, you know, and there's forecast reviews at multiple levels. At the sales manager level, at the regional director level, as the VP level, and then there's the C level, right? You know, I've known of CEOs that actually jump into those accounts and those forecasts, and you have the field explaining the needs and they want. And what's great about it, right, on good CEOs is that they listen. They're able to actually see, hey, this team in New York is doing something completely unique that we can probably replicate in the West Coast of the United States, or we can try to, you know, take that lightning in a bottle to make sure that others are learning from those experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you just put that really well. I think, you know, one of the things I've seen in the current company I work for, the CEO is highly engaged. I guarantee he reads every single win report that comes out, every loss report too. It's got the pulse on the business. And, you know, I think a really good neck connected, you know, powerful hands-on, not necessarily have to be hands-on front line, but hands-on the pulse of the business, you know, leader will be doing that, whether they're the sales VP, which is their expected job to have that pulse, or, you know, if they're at the top of the food chain and it's rolling up and, you know, at the end of the day, they're the one responsible to the board of delivering the results of the company as a whole. They have to have that kind of information. So, you know, expect and inspect is obviously going to go all the way to the top of the level from that perspective. You know, but I think the flip side is true too. You're absolutely right. I mean, we have a lot of tribal knowledge that happens in our sales organizations, and it doesn't always get across. And it's either we're running too fast, you know, we just don't collaborate, especially in the disconnected world we're in now. I mean, sometimes we get a virtual Zoom happy hour, but you know, it's a Zoom happy hour. You're not sharing those best practices. So you really have to figure out a way to kind of knowledge share. And if it comes from the top down, I guarantee everybody reads that email. It comes in the inbox saying, hey, look, we just saw we're killing our competition with this three things. You know, action item these into your sales plan for the following week. You're going to have a better adoption rate when it comes from that top level down. So, yeah, that absolutely is true. 100% said, my friend.
Well, and I would say, and I would say for those CEOs that are listening, or an aspiring CEO, right? You know, at the end of the day, you know, and I make a lot of reference into the corporate seagull. A corporate seagull is someone that, you know, think of a seagull, right? Is, you know, squawking, you're in the beach with your loved one, it's squawking, it comes in, it tries to eat your food, it poops all over the place and then leaves, right? It's basically just comes and goes and leaves. Great CEOs, great leaders in that role of CEO will tell you how you did after the sales call, or will not necessarily give that feedback to the VP of sales so that the VP of sales tells the regional director. They know how to connect with their front line, and they know how to say, I love what you did here. And if you improve, you know, if you improve on these things, you're going to be awesome at what you do. And that's where the personification of the C, you know, the CEO moniker, right, or the acronym shows in reality that it's a human that is just trying to help. Sorry to interrupt. It's something that I'm very passionate about.
Yeah, you are. That's why we're doing this topic. Yeah, but the CEO is not the only person you will get engaged from the C-suite too. I mean, we obviously being sales engineers listening to this podcast, oftentimes it's going to be the technical side of the organization. So it could be the technical co-founder, it could be your VP of engineering, it could obviously be senior leadership and product management. You know, so you have to be able to engage them as well. But at the same time, you know, you're bringing them in to support the opportunity, not to run the technical side of the engagement. So, you know, one of the things you have to balance is the fact that while they may have created the product, they know it better, you were hired to deliver the value prop of that solution. So you need to still be able to do that and deliver that in the pressure of having somebody who may have created the product. And obviously, you know, you're going to engage them the same way you engage the sales leadership and the CEO. You're going to have those conversations up front saying, here's what I need you to do. And oftentimes when you're bringing them in, it's vision setting. It may be something where you're selling a product that needs some new features and you want them to hear it from, you know, essentially the horse's mouth or the customer to say why they need it, and then give them the opportunity to align the company's priorities around it and maybe give a vision statement saying we're going to go there. Obviously, all that time is typically done under safe harbor because you're not trying to derail your sales process with promising things that you can't deliver. But, you know, those are the kind of things you want to engage there. And then obviously, you know, there's always going to be, you know, the last side of the C-suite, I think, that gets involved. And you know, I think it's on that balance of, you know, pre-sales, post-sales, where you're bringing in the support people. Maybe it's you're trying to show them, hey, look, you know, we have world-class support. Here's the organization. Here's how it's run from the top down, engaging them there. Maybe sometimes you're engaging them because you're having a, you know, customer satisfaction issue and you need to be able to get them to be there for that moral support saying, you know, we understand the problem, we're addressing it, here's how we're fixing it. So it goes across both sides of it, you know, but you got to be audible ready, and you got to be willing to go tap that suite and use it. I think the other suite that's there that and sometimes people maybe not think about on this call or, you know, think all the time about calls is, you know, there is a board in most companies, and those board members are there for a couple of reasons. One is they probably help fund the company, and so they have an equity position that their firm is backing. They're industry experts, and they're the luminaries and the visionaries that the co-founders have come to rely on as kind of a sounding board, or they're kind of that independent, you know, at-large person who's got a name in the industry. All those come with connections and networks that are a mile wide, and you know, it's pretty powerful if you have a named board member that is willing to engage at that same level as your internal C-suite to be able to open doors for you. And when you can get that level of engagement, it's amazing, right? And so, you know, don't think that your ask should stop there. Now, you may have to go through your C-suite to get to the board members, but if you can get there and you have a legitimate reason where you think they can move the needle or they can open a door, and obviously if they're an investor in the company, you know, they should have every incentive just to be one to help you if you can validate that request. So just something else to think about, you know, when you're going kind of through that progression of those resources you're going to tap upstream.
So, you know, you just make me think about something that that is very interesting, because the reality is that not a lot of CEOs are the same, right? They're not from the same cloth. They're not cut from the same cloth. There's going to be some CEOs that are very engaging into, you know, not only talking to you as an individual contributor, but also engaging into talking to your prospects, right? That, you know, you're trying to close the deal. You're trying to do that extra hump. There's some CEOs that, to be honest, you don't even want to put in front of a customer, because for whatever it is, maybe they're too pushy. Maybe they're too, you know, they sometimes CEOs can be very confident about delivering, and sometimes confidence can cloud a little bit of arrogance, right? So it's, you know, or create that notion that is an arrogant individual, right? So it's important to know that you know what you're, you know, that you understand what is your CEO's persona themselves. You know, are they very engaging? Are they open? Are they you know, from different parts of the country that maybe have a different style? Like, for example, in the Southeast where the United States, where I live and you live, it's a different selling motion with prospects than in the Northeast, like, you know, New York City Metro. It's just completely different. And understanding that in advance of your call, and understanding the, you know, let's call it the CEO DNA of how they are, will help you be successful. Because again, it's about ensuring that individual knows, hey, all I need you to do is this. Focus on this is your swimming lane, Mr. CEO. Stay here. Don't go anywhere else.
Yeah, it's well said. And, you know, painting a general picture, but you're absolutely right. You have to know the persona. You have to know the person. You have to know the resource you're going to engage. You know, some people are introverts, you know, and some people are extroverts. And there's a reason why some people talk to computers and other people talk to people. Right? And so are they a people person or are they a computer person? Right? You may have a really highly technical founder who's a CEO who just doesn't care to go out in the field. And I've, you know, in my career, I've been paired with both sides of the equation. And it's just a natural dynamic. You know, and we're all not all the same. If we were all the same, it'd be a boring world. So, you know, and I had a CEO, amazing person, would never want to go on a sales call. Like, you go deal with that. I'll deal with my side of it, right? CEO title, a different title over here on my side, you know, technical title. And you know, I would essentially run those engagements and the field engagements and be that resource that people came to and tapped to go out, because, you know, that was the role we played. You know, we both had valid roles and it's just the way it is. So you're absolutely right. You really have to understand the persona, the person, how you're engaging them. And, you know, yeah, I feel like I'm a little bit, you know, calling the kettle black here myself, because obviously I lived in the ivory tower. I was the other side of the equation, and oftentimes that resource there that was hitting. But, you know, just want to give people the kind of the color on, you know, don't be afraid. I mean, that's the whole gist of this episode is use the resources you have. Don't be afraid when they engage and plug themselves in. And, you know, and when you do use them, leverage them to the best of your ability. And you got to be prepared for it, though, because it's that one thing that'll kill you is if you get into the pressure and you're under pressure, you know, just think about the music there. It starts playing in your head. Yeah, you're going to focus on that pressure and you're not going to shine, you know, like you can. You know you can.
I mean, I think to summarize, and I can use this as I hate to put you in the spot, but I'll use an example on you, right? I think that when I first met you in 2014, I personally was intimidated by the amount of knowledge that you have, you know, and you're my mentor. We're obviously co-hosts here, but eventually it wasn't until I started seeing your actions, right? Where, you know, you were just diving into different technical things and not only diving in, but just doing it. Like you enable me to do different things, not by just, hey, here's a manual, read it, but like took time to actually inspecting what was expected of me when I was working for you as a sales engineer, that made me realize that, you know, it's a person, right? It's a person that is actionable, a person that cares about me, and a person that if I give him guidance on what I need, he's going to deliver. So again, it's about that, you know, how much is that CEO or that C-suite or that high on in the high person in the ivory tower is willing to help you as an individual contributor and generally willing to help you?
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but I'll speak my view of it, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the most important asset anybody has in a company is their people. I mean, you can have the best product in the world, but if you don't have the best people to sell it, it's not going anywhere and you can't do it alone. So, you know, that said, you know, you're going to spend an enormous amount of time and money and resources hiring your most critical asset, which is people. And, you know, if you don't treat them, you know, with world-class respect, you know, you're going to lose that asset and you put a lot of money into. So that's one of it. The second thing is, you know, if you help people grow in their career or, you know, help them enable themselves so they can grow in their career, you know, it comes back with ROI and returns of productivity improvement. You gain people that grow into leadership. So, you know, I've always taken the approach, and it happened very early in my career, you know, somebody took a chance on me, was willing to impart knowledge in me, and pretty much said, you know, I'm going to teach you, you know, essentially how to fish, and then you'll always know how to eat, right? And now, you know, I take that analogy and pass it on, right? Knowledge in your head, you know, is only not going to force multiply if it stays in your head, right? And no one should be ashamed about sharing knowledge. I mean, I had one SC one time tell me, you know, that's great, but why would you teach me this? It's like, because you could be giving up your job here. I'm like, that's my goal. I want to go do other things. I want to do really cool things. I want to go start another company, right? I mean, you know, I can't leave what I'm currently doing and free up my cycles unless I have somebody who can do that job. I said that last week as well, but it still holds true. So you have to pass on that knowledge. And again, I said tribal knowledge in our industry is one of the huge problems we have. And it's part of it's just, you know, people don't know how to communicate, or we don't communicate as effectively as we used to, or we have silos now. But, you know, getting that knowledge out and getting it shared is absolutely key and critical. So, you know, I've always taken the approach, you know, if you could spend a little time, help somebody do it, great. The one thing that doesn't sit with them is when I share the knowledge, you know, and the person doesn't retain it. And I'm not saying they didn't crack it the first time. You know, it takes repetition for like anything. But even if you've gone through the thing where you always get the same question from the same person 15, 20 times, it's like, okay, at some point you have to actually start learning, right? It's like when I used to teach college, I would tell people, like, even the class I would teach was highly technical, but it was a technology class. Really, 4 years after these kids were graduating, and this is their first year in the school, all that technology is going to be outdated. So I told them at the beginning of class, I'm not teaching you this technology to teach you this technology. I'm going to teach you how to learn. Because if you know how to learn, you'll always be able to, you know, kind of continue to advance in your career. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in that today. No one has to be, a deep subject matter expert in everything. Maybe you know one or two things really deep, but then understand how to go research the answer for the rest of it. And, you know, that's something that you do really well. A lot of good SEs will do that and, you know, kind of be a, you know, master nothing and jack of all trades, right? And they can just know how to go be audible ready, find what they need to find and deal with it in that moment of time. And same thing here, right? You got to be audible ready. You got to be ready to deal with the pressure cooker when it comes up on you. And, you know, if you have, you know, a skill set that says, I know how to plan, I know how to prepare, I can communicate effectively, I can deal with the pressure and harness it to my satisfaction to turn it into a positive for me, you know, you're being taking those same traits and just using it here in the dynamic where, you know, the C-suite's going to be with you and you're going to be a rock star because you're leveraging that additional resource that you have as a force multiplier.
Very well said. Very well said. Take us home, brother. Take us home. Very well said.
Yeah, no. So we're going to be making some special announcements here in the next week or so. So stay on our social media channels. And if you haven't followed us yet on YouTube, please do. Our community is continuing to grow. We post these episodes, both video cast and podcast, on Wednesdays. Every week, we drop them on all the major podcasting platforms and always available at salesburrito.com. And so until next week, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing, and we're out.
We hope you've enjoyed the Sales Burrito Show. Be sure to subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.